if we can. I try to think of new things we can do. It's all centered around the Word of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we're going to read through here. And we're going to read through some scriptures here in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And God gives all these laws, and he gives all this, you know, he gives all this, it's pretty clear. And that's where, now, if you, people say, well, I don't like the laws of God. But people in America, folks, that's why they're trying to do away with our Constitution and get rid of our what we stand for, because most of our Constitution, our laws, I should say our laws, is based upon the Word of God. They come from the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of laws been passed that's not based on the Word of God, but most of the laws were based upon the Word of God. And I think there's some laws that's still in power that they don't even acknowledge anymore. I'm trying to think of one in particular in my mind. I had it a little while ago, but there's laws that we don't even acknowledge anymore. Who said what? All right, look in Deuteronomy chapter 20. It says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. And this is where Moses is still, he's still the leader, and God is with him. And this had to be a great sight when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and all the spies from the Ammonites and Hittites and the Jebusites and all these came out to and watched and see what was going on. They seen that Red Sea open up, and they seen all that stuff. They're spying them out and watching this thing, and they see this when Moses made the Ark of the Covenant, and that fire came down, and I mean, in the cloud by day and the fire by night and all that stuff. That scared everybody half to death. And they came out, and God says, if you go against your enemy, they might outnumber you. They might have chariots of iron and all that stuff. He said, but I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. And he says, and more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, the New Testament verse would be what? What would be the New Testament verse for a child of God? And when it comes to that, you're going out to battle. You're fighting in this battle, this Christian battle. You're fighting as a Christian. You're trying to stand for God, and you're trying to do what's right. And the Bible tells you, what would the Bible tell you in the New Testament if you're going to go out to battle? Now, you're going to go to battle. You shouldn't be battling your family. You shouldn't be battling each other. You should be battling the enemy. Who's the enemy? The world, the flesh, and the devil. According to 1 John, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's our enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. A lot of times, a lot of people think it's their wife or their husband or their children or their neighbor or something else. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the biggest battle that we have is ourselves. So he says, when you go out to battle, he said, don't be afraid. And then he says, I'll be with you, and I'll get you through. I'll get you through. What would be a New Testament verse on that? That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. That's Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Yeah. What else? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. What else you got, bro? 2 Timothy chapter 2. There you go. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn over there. And he tells them, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. And Timothy is being told that by Paul. And we were talking about Paul this morning, about going out in Romans chapter 10, how Paul was willing to sacrifice everything, and he did sacrifice everything. And he gave his life for the cause of Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says this. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So what a church ought to be doing is committing things to faithful men that they can teach others. Now, we're supposed to be teaching other men how to battle, how to fight. I'm talking about not the physical fight. It's the spiritual fight is a tougher fight, because you don't know which way your enemy's coming at you. You don't know, man, when you're on your face, you start praying, all kinds of wicked thoughts go through your mind and all kinds of junk, and you're supposed to fight through it. And this day and age, you got to recognize when the devil shows up and when the unclean spirits show up, and talking about discouragement and all that stuff. You got to recognize that stuff. You got to know when it shows up. You got to be spiritual enough to understand. The Bible tells us in Galatians, it says, he that was the spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And you're supposed to be a spiritual man, be able to restore people in the spirit of meekness. Why? They're allies. They're not our enemy. You're supposed to restore a brother, help a brother back up, help a sister back up. Some people get glory in kicking somebody down and keeping them down and stepping on them. And that's not the way you do it. Not New Testament. God's not pleased with that. Now, you go through the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find all these laws, all these laws that God gives to the children of Israel. There's things they couldn't do and could do, which you and I, we're not restricted by some of the laws. We're not restricted by that. The children of Israel, there's a lot of things they couldn't do. They couldn't walk on the Sabbath day more than a quarter of a mile or an eighth of a mile. They couldn't walk that far. You can go, we go out Saturday, Sunday. We got folks working today. My son-in-law is working today, driving a tractor and trailer. And we got folks out today that's doing different things. We got folks just, you know, and under the law, you couldn't even kindle a fire in your house. Now, there's some people today, there's some Mennonite, back in the days in the 50s, people wouldn't go out to eat on Sunday. They wouldn't do that. And they wouldn't even fire up the stove on Sunday. They would make sandwiches. So when they came home from church, they would eat sandwiches at the house and potato chips and whatever else they had. They would have everything ready so they wouldn't do it on Sunday. And they were trying to, you know, abide by the law. But it was a different day. I wish we could go back to the 50s. I wish we could go back there, but we, you know, the prophecy about the Lord coming back and the things going to get worse and worse, we're in that day. Now, I would like to encourage young families, young families raising your kids, do right, man. Just honor God. Love the Lord. Teach your children about Jesus Christ. You don't have to be so, it's not a dictatorship. It's just like a pastor is not a dictatorship. It's an example. It's leading by example. And that's what, as a family, man, you're supposed to lead by example. In a church, it's leading by example. And you're not, I've noticed in church, I was talking to a brother in Georgia yesterday. And he told me, he said, I got a young man coming to our church now. He said, his pastor is so stinking hard. He's against everybody and everybody against him. He said, this guy is so stinking hard. He's an idiot. And he said, if it moves, he preaches against it. And if it doesn't move, he'll shoot it. Anyhow, he said, I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, he's just an idiot. He preaches on all kinds of crazy stuff. And his church, he said, he's got a thumb on them, and they are scared to move. They're scared to do anything. That's not the way a church is supposed to run. A church is not supposed to run where the pastor has a thumb and it makes everybody, you know, stay in line. He said, well, most everybody in that church is his family. It's all family. And he said, this guy's an idiot. And I said, he's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy the work of God. And, you know, God doesn't call a man to be a lord over his heritage. The Bible tells us that in Peter. And I've never tried to be a dictator or a lord over the heritage that God's given us as a church. I've never tried. I'm supposed to be in charge. Amen. I'm supposed to lead the church. I'm supposed to be the example. I'm supposed to be the under shepherd, and I'm supposed to, you know. But there's decisions got to be made. Sometimes I got to make a hard decision, and I got to do it, and then I've got to live with it, and I'm gonna have to give account to God for it. Decisions I try to lead the church in the right direction, trying to keep it going in the right direction. Keep us staying with the old King James Bible, staying with this book, staying with the old time hymns, singing those old time hymns. Preaching on the street, preaching, giving tracts out, and going door to door, knocking on doors, witnessing to people, and not backing up. And supporting missionaries around the world. We're still fulfilling the Great Commission. We're still trying to fulfill that. So to be a trained man and teach people, you teach them by example. But Paul says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. And folks, sometimes this Christian life can get hard. Amen. It can. I'd be a liar to stand up here and tell you this Christian life is not, it's just a bed of roses, man. It's easy sailing from there. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you when it's easy sailing, when you make up your mind. When you make up your mind, it's going, I'm going to do right. I don't care what. And I've never wanted my children to say to me, Dad, are we going to church tonight or not? Right. I never wanted that. And I've had that kids ask me a couple times, and it stuck me because I thought about staying home or doing something else when I was traveling so far. I thought about doing, and then when they said that, I said, no, I'm going. Yeah. I'm going. I never want my children to question whether Dad and Mom and the kids are going to go to church. What's that? Yeah, fight the good fight. Lay hold on it. Yeah, first, we'll get to that. It says, thou therefore, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. There we talk about pleasing him, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So whether you like it or not, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a soldier. You're not supposed to be a conscience objector. You're not supposed to be run into Canada like Clinton did. And you're supposed to stand for God and be faithful. Amen. Be faithful. And if, you say, well, it doesn't matter if I be faithful or not. Yep, other people are looking at you. You, everybody in this room affects five other people at least. At least five other people. Now, it says, look back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. What my brother just, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee a charge. They always use a charge as in a military advancement. I give thee a charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, and until of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how long you're supposed to do it? Until Jesus comes back or you go home and be with him before them. You're supposed to do it. And, you know, it's not whether I feel like it. There's many times, folks, I've been pastoring this church going on 31 years now. And there's many times I didn't feel like it. I did it anyway. Why? It's my duty. You said, well, you're supposed to. No, I could have took off. I could have done something else. But it's our duty. And I want to be a good example. I don't want nobody to use me for a bad example of saying he wasn't faithful. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. 1 John 4:1. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. Look at that. Let's look at 1 John 4:4, New Testament. Talking about when you go out to battle. 1 John 4:4. And a lot of people end up battling each other. And they think they're real in the good fight. The Bible says fight the good fight. The good fight is out there. It's not in here. It's not with your family. It's not with your brothers. Not with your sisters. It's the good fight is out there winning people to Jesus Christ. If you don't think it's a battle to win people to get Jesus Christ, try it. Amen. Try it. I've been in people's houses right when they get ready to get saved. The phone starts ringing. Dog starts going crazy. The cats jump on something. I mean, and neighbors come knocking on the door. I mean, you talking about everything going on. People, all kinds of adversity comes up. And you've got to work around that and try to get to it and try to get them saved. And that's a good fight. 1 John 4:4? It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So the battle is on. The day you got saved, Ricky, my brother, Cody's brother-in-law, he's been sitting here for months, and he's Catholic. And he's been debating. And he come up to me this morning, and I don't back off talking about the Catholic Church, and I show stuff. I don't back off nothing. And then he started going to a Church of Christ or something thing where they were teaching baptism regeneration. And so we were all praying for him, been praying for him. He came up to me today. He says, preacher, I feel like I'm saved. I said, well, do you have a day, a time when you ask the Lord to save you? He said, well, I ask the Lord to save me every day. I said, no, Ricky. I said, how many times were you born in this world? And he said, one time. I said, you got to get saved. You get saved. You get born again one time. And he goes, yeah. He understood. He said, I said, well, you need to nail it down, Ricky. I said, if you don't know. He said, well, I've been a good person. I said, what bothers him? He said, all my life, I've been a good person. And he said, I worked in the Catholic Church. I did all these things. I altar boy, I guess it was altar boy and all that stuff. He said, I did all these good works. I didn't hurt nobody. I didn't rob nobody. He said, I always thought I was a good person. I said, but you know that's not going to get you heaven. He said, now I know. And I said, Ricky. He said, well, maybe I'll get saved when I go up there. I said, Ricky, you can get saved right now. He said, right now. I said, yeah, right now. You need to nail it down. And I said, you need to find out today. So he goes to... they had a meeting at the family today, and Brother Cody was calling, and he got rejoicing over it because of the meeting, God answered prayer. They never thought it was going to go the way it was going, and Ricky and his wife and Joan, they all got to see God answer prayer, and they was just rejoicing over it. God answered prayer. So pray for Ricky. Ricky would nail it down and get it nailed down that he's saved, if he is saved. And if he isn't saved, I told him, I said, Ricky, only you know. I said, if you don't know, nail it down. You know how to do it, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, then nail it down. Get it settled. So at least the guy is honest and he's coming and looking. So praise God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20. He said, it shall be when you are come nigh unto battle. I like this part. Now, this is where they, in the movie of, what do you call that movie they had, they showed it a lot of times in different movies, old movies, where the priest, the Roman Catholic priest, would come out and bless the soldiers. Now, this is talking about the nation of Israel, their priest, which the children of the Lord would have the priest, the Levites, come out and bless the people and encourage them. And that's where the Roman Catholic Church got it from. They got it from that. It shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. You know what my job is? My job is to try to encourage you to get into the battle and tell you don't faint. Don't quit. The Bible says, he that faints in the day of adversity, his faith is small. And if you faint in the day of adversity, when troubles come at you, your faith is small. So I want my faith to be strong. I want my faith to be strong so I can stand in the day of adversity. And you say, what kind of adversity? Any adversity comes at you. Anything. You never know. Tomorrow morning, you could be, I've had people leave here on Sunday night and say, you know, what you were talking about Sunday night happened on Monday morning. And tomorrow morning, you could face adversity. You could wake up. You never know what you're going to wake up to. You could go to work. You don't know what you might face there. You could get a call. I get a lot of calls. All of a sudden, something happened. And I start praying. I never forget when I got a call about little Earl and Jacob in the accident and Jacob's brother, and we started crying out to God for him. They had to cut him out of the car, and I was up here crying, begging God for him. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, it says, don't faint in a day of adversity. When troubles come, you stand strong and stand in that hailstorm, no matter what, just whatever it is coming at you, because it's going to come to pass. It's not going to come to stay. It'll pass over. And when you come nigh on the battle, that the priest shall approach unto the people and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day on the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Somebody find me a verse where Jesus said that. Find me a verse where Jesus said that in the New Testament. Fear not. It is I. He says, Do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will take care of things. You just got to trust him. That's where that my sister quoted the verse a little while ago, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You just got to trust God in every situation in your life. You just got to trust him. The children of Israel, they're told before they go into battle, this is what you're going to go into warfare. Trust the Lord. Don't tremble, neither be terrified because of them. Somebody got the verse? Stand up and read it. Stand up and read it. Stand up and read it. Stand up and read it real loud. All right. That's fear not. Somebody else got fear not.
Flock.
Little flock. Little folk.
That was the southern version.
That's the midgets. Now, go ahead. Amen. Somebody else got a verse. Stand up. Yeah, go ahead.
Luke 12:7 says, But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows.
Amen. So look, going back to Deuteronomy, look what it says in verse 5. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that buildeth a new house? The Lord's a reasonable man. God says, have you built a new house? Have not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that have planted a vineyard and have not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and have not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. He's saying you might affect the men around you. He said, don't you, if you're faint-hearted, you go back. I'm thinking, my God, this would eliminate a lot of people. This would eliminate the army. But you know what happened? I guarantee what happened. Maybe some man got married or somebody got dedicated a new house or that type of thing. I'm sure that happened every time they went into battle. And those men probably wanted to go anyhow. But look what it says. And the officer shall speak further unto me. What man that shall say, what man is there that hath a fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. And when thou comest nigh unto the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. If it will make no peace with thee, see, a lot of people say God didn't give a choice. He did. He gave a choice. You want to, but when they were attacked by other nations, they were attacked and they wiped them out. And it says, it shall be no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered into it in thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even of all the spoil thereof, thou shalt take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doeth give thee as a foreign inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Be thou shall utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Jebusites, they control Jerusalem, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And then the reason why these other nations, they worshiped idols. Not only that, they sacrificed their children, and they messed with animals, and they did all kinds of stuff. They did all kinds of abominations in the sight of the Lord. And he didn't want them alive to be able to teach his own the people the same thing. And that's what happened. They taught the children of Israel to go that way. And that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. And then a lot of these worship services of these different nations, there was all kinds of sexual acts and things that went on. And that's what's happening in America right now. That's what's going on. And when thou shalt besiege a city a long time, making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing the axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the trees of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. And it says, only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. Thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that make war with thee until it be subdued. If one be found is slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known, who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth and shall measure unto the cities which are round about them that is slain. It shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which have not been wrought with, which have not drawn in a yoke, and the elders of that city shall, now check this out, the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer onto the rough valley, which is neither ear nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck, there in the valley, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for them the Lord thy God have chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word shall they every controversy and every stroke be tried, and all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people, Israel, whom thou hast redeemed. Lay not innocent blood unto thy people, Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. And so shall thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And when thou goest forth to war against the enemy, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and hast taken captives, seest thou among the captives a beautiful woman, and have a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, then she shall shave her head, and par her nails, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. It shall be that if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will, but thou shalt not sell her for at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. And if so, it goes on. This law, man, you go through here, this domestic regulations and all this stuff, this law God gives. And like I said, we still have our laws of throughout America. It's still there. Go over to chapter 22. Look at chapter 22. This is another thing, chapter 22. It says, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. You know what? I got to back up to 21. I got to back up to 21, verse 18. Look at verse 18. Here's where we all would have been in trouble, right here. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son.
Amen.
Will not obey the voice of his father and the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him and will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him.
Not amen.
And bring him out unto the elders of the city. I can line up the elders. And unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, that this our son is stubborn and rebellious. I'll tell you what, if you can't find nothing to thank God for,
amen,
there's something right there.
Amen.
How many of y'all were stubborn,
amen,
and rebellious?
Amen.
I can thank God every day.
Amen.
This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And somebody grab him, put him on the ground. No. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. And so shall thou put evil away from among you. You know what? When Dr. Spock came in and America stopped and they started locking people up for spanking their children, I realized there's abuse going on because of drugs and drinking and all that stuff. My father was abusive. And he beat us raw. But you know, after I got saved, I didn't hate my father. I probably needed more of it. And but when Dr. Spock and all that stuff crowd came in and started telling people, you know, spanking your child, it do the child more harm than good. And Dr. Spock ought to see what's going on in America today. And kids know, you touch me, I'll call 911. Have you locked up? I've told our kids, I said, yeah, they've never said that to me. My kids have never said, I'll call the police, I'll call 911. Yeah.
State of Delaware, you're allowed to spank your children.
State of...
You can't abuse them. You can spank them.
You can spank them. Thank God. Still in the state of Delaware. In the state of Delaware, you still...
And
No, it's nothing wrong with spanking a child if you do it the right way. You got to do it the right way. And but when they stopped, you know, allowing, you know, the children being spanked and parents started, you know, trying to reason with the kid, and there's nothing wrong with reasoning with them to a point. But after, you know, there's got to be a judgment. There's got to be a place where you say, if you do this again, you're going to get a spanking. And back it up with your word. Most people do not back it up. They don't back it up. And that's why you got a bunch of, you know, I've read the other day, there's 1.5 million, almost 2 million men and women in prison in America. That's more people in prison than a lot of countries. We've got locked up. And you know what? If you went back and started checking out their life, somebody didn't tell them, spank them, correct them, or somebody abused them and abused them badly. And Jack Patterson called me the other day. He said, young lady from Delaware called him, wanted to go out to his place. He said, have you talked to your pastor? And she said, well, he knows. And he told me on the phone, she said, that girl's been abused. That girl's been abused, and she's been abused bad. She's bitter, and she don't care. And what happens to young ladies, they'll get abused, and they'll get to a place where they don't care anymore. Some guys, same way. They get a place, they don't care anymore. And I hope if there's somebody like that here tonight, if you've been abused, I hope you cry out to God and ask God to do something about it.
Amen.
And God will, or tell somebody.
Amen.
I've said that one time in this church. I said, you ought to tell somebody, and somebody told. And we took care of it. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou hang him on a tree. Here's where Jesus Christ was hung on a tree. His body shall not remain all night. This is the law that they said in Romans. When the Romans said, we're not going to, or the Jews said that. The Jews said, we won't let his body remain all night on there. And his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. You say, well, the Romans let people hang on the trees and on poles and all that stuff, and they lit their bodies up like lanterns. But when the Jews, when they brought judgment against somebody, they would try to keep the law. That's the law. And they brought Jesus Christ off that tree, or brought him down and then buried him. That's it right there. Verse 22, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou hang him on a tree. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. We'll stop right there. We're going through some. I was looking at some other things I wanted to get to, but we'll stop right there. Let you get out of here tonight for a little. Anybody got any questions on anything? Anybody got anything to say? Anything?